Welcome to the radio show inspired from the 2013 award-winning feature documentary, It's All About Me. This program is sponsored by COMFEST Global Film Festival. My name is Antoine Gabert, your host for this program, the film producer and director of It's All About Me. For those of you who missed the Toronto premiere or some of the festival circuit where the documentary has been screened, this radio show series will capture the essence of several important topics addressed within the film. For those of you not familiar with the topic, this documentary examines the inflated sense of entitlement among youth, its consequences, and the solutions for a better future. Generation X, Y, and Z have grown increasingly self-absorbed from over four decades of nurturing and education based upon boosting self-esteem. This film explores the consequences of a society driven by instant gratification, me-me-me mentality, and describes how younger generations can succeed in the real world. Please join me in what will be some very insightful discussions with specialists in the field, but also representatives from the baby boomers, Gen X, Y, and Z. Our guest today, Jared Kligerman. He's the Vice President of Business Development at WITS Education. Jared is also part of the Generation Y. I almost have to say that Jared and I work also very closely on the film and finding interesting research on the generations that we share with you on Facebook and Twitter, so be sure to follow us. On our show today, Jared will help us understand how he became successful as a Gen Y, especially in this economical challenging times where other Generation Y are struggling. Jared was also featured in the documentary, It's All About Me. Jared, welcome to our show today, to the part two.
Part two.
Yeah.
Excited to be back.
Thank you for coming back. There's so much to discuss to share with us as a Generation Y for us to learn more about your generation. So with the challenging economy, it was difficult for your generation to find work as a student, and society maybe have overpromised and maybe not delivered as expected, you know. But you did very well for yourself, and why is that?
The first one I think really have to credit my parents for was the work, my dedication to work from them. I'm a bit of a workaholic, which is not necessarily a good thing. That's really a Gen X phrase. But I always threw myself into every opportunity I had to really make the most out of it, whether it was tree planting, landscaping, lifeguarding. I mean, I've worked everywhere, which is great because I got all this amazing experience all over the place. And to be able to do that, the biggest factor to my success is I never said no to an opportunity. And that meant doing some really grungy work. In fact, when I started at WITS Education, where I'm now the VP, I started doing data entry. I started part-time data entry, which is the most mind-numbing, boring job on the face of the planet. Some can argue, but I think it is. And from there, because I worked hard and I looked for the new opportunities and I looked for the room to grow, I was able to get to where I am now. But it would have never happened if I wasn't able to step back and say, you know what, yes, I might be an MBA, but I'm not going to be starting at that $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 price tag or salary tag that the universities are saying I'm going to. I need to accept the fact I need to start at a lower entry position. I need to start at a lower salary to get in because it's so competitive out there. And there'll always be that top percentile who live the perfect dream. They go to school for what they want. They get their degree. They get the job with the right salary, whole nice little happy family. Much like there's always that small percentage at the bottom of it who will just never be able to get where they want to. They'll never be able to find that happy medium. And I think a lot of my generation, the older section of us, have really started to realize in the last couple of years that we need to accept the fact that that perfect dream, that perfect job, that perfect everything that we imagined as kids and we're told we were going to get if we just followed the steps like our parents did, isn't going to be a reality. And so now it's about stepping back and saying, what can I get? Where can I take my life? And what can I do to ensure that I'm happy with what I have? So it's stepping back and kind of accepting that all that wonderful entitlement that drove us to university and got us those degrees. Now we kind of have to step back and say, okay, we're not going to be that upper echelon that we dreamed of. We'll be in the middle echelon, and we have to be okay with that, and let's make it the best we possibly can.
I mean, that's the right attitude, because I think one of the big problems is most parents, you know, they wanted the best for their kids, and they said to them, you have to go to university, you have to get a diploma, and when you get a diploma, you'll have, you know, this big job waiting for you. Like we did as a baby boomer, this is what happened to us. Unfortunately, the Gen Y and some of the Gen X as well, they did that, and they had one degree, they couldn't find a job, they continued, they have a second degree, they still can find a job, and they can even find a job in their area. So things have changed, and interestingly, you know, I think that was kind of a bit of, you know, too much push from the parents to all go to university. And what we are experiencing today is there is only so many jobs, mm-hmm. and the economy is not as good, therefore competition is way stiffer, and you have to have lots of different experience for us to hire you. I mean, people, they have all these diplomas. Do you have any experience? No, nobody gave me the chance to have the experience, so that's another issue.
Oh, and that's it. But to get that experience, you have to start at the bottom, and you have to be able to start lower, and especially now that there's such a surplus of amazing candidates available for any position.
So competition is stiff.
Competition is super stiff, and it gives employers now have the power. Yeah. They can now pick and choose who they want, and they can set the salaries lower than they were before, or at least held steady from where they were from previous years, because there's no need to drive them up. Look at the excess of amazing people we have. And coming back to actually what we were discussing before, what I find really interesting is that our boomer parents were the first ones to start talking about environmentalism, about green movements, about wanting to have those cool, creative, kind of fun jobs, those ideals. But of course, they had the pressures of the 60s, 70s. They had to get a job. They had to cover their family. And so they never wanted that to happen for us. So now there's been no pressure on us as Gen Ys to recognize the difference between what our values and ideologies are and what our ideal would be versus what reality is and what we can actually do. Boomers are forced into it out of necessity. We haven't had to have that necessity yet. So mm-hmm. our boomer parents, and for most of, in many cases, have allowed us to move back in, have paid our bills, make sure we don't have anything we can't handle. And so for us, we have this really long, extended period of time to try and find that perfect job that matches our ideologies and our values. And it's not, given the competition, I don't think it's going to happen for all of us, and for many of us it won't, and we have to accept that.
Yeah. I think one of the things that came out in the film, which was very interesting, was the fact that, you know, maybe not everybody should go to university. One of the big issue we're having now, the young people cannot find a job, you know, in with university diploma, but there is an abundance of jobs in the trade, and mm-hmm. we don't have the people to do it. Then we have to go out of the country to go and get those. So, you know, in the film, one of the professors, the retired professor, was mentioning. He says, "Well, maybe, you know, it's time to shift. It's okay to go into the trade, but it's a lot more work. And, you know, are the Gen Y ready to put more work and dirty their hands to go into a trade? I don't know."
You know what? It's funny you should say that, because all of us were always told to follow our passions. And actually, that phrase, follow your passions, only really started to show up in print in the early 90s. Because the boomers wanted to follow those passions but never could. So now our kids follow your passions and everything will work out. And so we all went off to university, many of us getting degrees that have no job prospects. Mm-hmm. And so we had to do additional degrees and certifications. And I think the younger Gen Ys and the Gen Zs coming up, my youngest sister being one of them, have kind of took a bit of a step back and went, I just saw my siblings go off to school, get all these degrees, and they're struggling to find work. Maybe I can find something in those trades. So I think for us older Gen Ys, it might be a little late, you can always go back and re-school, but a lot of us are already carrying debts, so it's very difficult for us to go back and do it. But I think the younger Gen Ys are seriously starting to consider the trades, and I recommend it. And if I could go back and do it again, my dad always said he'd be happy if I was a plumber, and I should have listened to him and gone and become a plumber.
You make lots of money today.
Tons! Everyone has a toilet. It all needs to be fixed at some point. And my friends in the trades are doing unbelievably well. And so if I could go back and do it again, I probably would have gone trades. And I think a lot of us have that type of feeling now. But not that I'm saying I don't love where I work. I do. But if I could go back, there's a good chance I probably would have gone to a college, which the stigma around colleges has also started to lift now as a result, which I think is amazing.
I think this is something that, you know, the younger generation who are struggling, they should maybe rethink, even if they decide to do another diploma, maybe just to go into the trade and get a job. They could get their hands on right away. They could get a job right away. And, I mean, people are struggling. I hear people telling me, we're looking for people that could do these, you know, in a auto shop or whatever it is. And it's just like they can't find the people.
And I will say, as another piece of advice to those who are thinking about looking down that route, is to really investigate which trade you want to go into and ensure that the demand is there. There's an amazing article came out on CBC talking to this woman who graduated as a nurse, and now she's back at school in Guelph doing a degree in something agriculture-based, because she was told that's where all the demand was, and she's been trying to find a job since last December and hasn't been able to find anything. So I think you have to, the trades are the way to go, but really investigate and put in the time and effort to research it's going to be your life. So you better research it a lot. And that's the other thing Gen Ys tend to do. We jump to conclusions and decisions in some uncertain areas. And I think careers have kind of been one of those, because we've been told to be passionate about what we do. And I think even myself, my background is in sciences. The reason I'm not in sciences anymore, or the reason I went into sciences, because I was very passionate, I loved it, and still do, but I couldn't get a career there. And so looking back, I probably would have done a minor in business back then instead of going to do my MBA, or just gone to the trades. Mm-hmm. But you need to spend the time, and that's the other thing our parents should be teaching us, and schools should be teaching us. They have this career class now in Ontario, mm-hmm. which I hear is, I never took it because I was before that cohort, but I hear it's not particularly good, but they should really be teaching kids not how to do their resume or how to interview. It's important, but you can learn it, but teach them how to research the industry they're interested in and see what the realistic probability is of them actually getting a job in that field. Because if it's low, maybe it's not worth the time. Maybe you want to go for your second best choice or third best choice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a very good point. Now, you know that baby boomer parents have focused mostly on their career and making money to give their children, you know, what they may have been deprived. And this kind of impacted their personal lives. And, you know, we heard about lots of baby boomers being divorced, or both, I mean, parents double income, they're working, you know. Do you think that your generation will be different? I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think it will definitely be quite a bit different. I mean, Gen Y, as a whole, we want to have a better work-life balance. We saw our parents slaving away, both of our parents slaving away, and I think we're not grateful enough to our parents in that way. They've done a lot for us. They've worked themselves to the bone in many cases to ensure that we always had a house, that we could go to school and do all these things, and we should be appreciative of that. As many things as they've screwed up for us, they have done a lot to get us to where we are. But for my generation, we don't necessarily want to put in that amount of work. Not that we don't work hard, because we do, but we're so adept with technology that we can now accomplish tasks a lot faster. And so we'd rather be able to work faster and harder over a shorter period of time, so we have more time to ourselves, than work extreme hours for an extra $10,000 on our paycheck. We'd rather enjoy our life. So I think we'll really change that balance. And the other part of that as well is that we're getting married later in life. And so we've delayed a lot of those big life things that force us into having to work extreme hours to hit certain salary points. And I think a lot of us are adjusting our lifestyle, including getting married and buying houses and things like that, to reflect the fact that we'd rather have more freedom in our time and be able to go on vacations than have the big house and have a big family and that type of thing, which boomers did.
The other part I think is interesting as well, is I would like to ask you is about how do you mostly communicate with your friends? I know there's all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, there's the texting, I mean, you have phones, cell phones, of course. Which one, I mean, boomers, we have this tendency of picking the phone and talking to people, but I know that, you know, younger generation, they have a tendency to text to each other, and they don't really talk to each other. I mean, what's your thought on how you communicate and your generation with your friends, and why?
So I'm a bit of an odd case, because I fought getting a cell phone.
You definitely are an odd case.
I know. I'm a very odd case. I fought getting a cell phone until my job required me to have one when I was working security back in the day. So, but now that I do have a cell phone, I'm on an iPhone 5S. I'm up to date now. One of the cool kids. No, with my friends, I do it predominantly via text. I'm a pretty heavy texter, with the next closest probably being Facebook. I have a Twitter account and Pinterest and all those other ones. I've never really gotten into it. I think I'm just a little bit on the older side, and most of my friends are in the same boat. A lot of us do text or Facebook. With the third probably being email, because we all grew up with email. And then the phone will probably be the last.
Why is the phone the last?
You know what? I hate the phone, too. I hate talking on the phone. I'd rather either talk to you face-to-face and have a real interaction and have the experience of being able to...
No, but you're special here. Hold on a second. No, you're special because, trust me...
I would rather do that.
Your generation doesn't like to speak on the phone, but you like a one-on-one interaction.
I would rather do that than be on the phone. But above both of those, I'd rather text. I'd much rather put it into words because I'm a writer. I'd much rather hide behind a screen or a phone and send you something quickly in a very short amount of time because it's faster. There's no niceties in a text. It's, hey, doing this? ? Or the phone, hey, how are you? What's going on? Do you want to do this? It's long. It's tiring. Get it out of here. I want to move fast. Speed, Antoine. Speed. My generation is all about the time. And if there's something we can do that will save us some time so we have more freedom in what we can do and live the lives we want to do and the activities you want to be doing, we'll do it, which is why I think Twitter has become so successful. It's 140 characters. You're maxed. You want the fastest way to get information now. Look at any major world events, and it's not websites, it's Twitter that's exploding because we want that information quickly so we can read it, digest it, deal with it, move on. So I think Gen Ys are really heavy on, depending on where they are, Facebook and Twitter and text are the top three for sure. Anything where they don't have to have an interaction.
Now, interestingly, you talked a lot about Facebook, Gen Y like Facebook. Interestingly, in the film, we had some Generation Z, mm-hmm. which were the generation after you, the younger one, that said that they're distanciating themselves from Facebook because Facebook is a lot about me, 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 and they're more on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thought on that? Do you think that Facebook is a platform of a bit of a narcissistic platform?
You know what? It definitely has a quality to it.
I mean, everybody, you see the selfies of everybody there, you know.
Have you been on Instagram? So with the Gen Zs, I mean, the Gen Zs, you're right. The Gen Zs aren't on Facebook as much as they used to be. By no means is it, someone called it the mass exodus of Facebook, and that's not happening. They're still on there at some capacity, but a lot of Gen Zs are drifting away from it in favor of things like Twitter or Snapchat or what was the other one? There's another new one. I'm not cool enough to hang with the Gen Zs anymore. I just want them too old. But they like that really quick interaction speed. And so, yeah, Facebook, they're leaving it. I think it's more because all their parents are on there now.
Oh, it's because all the boomers now are finally woke up.
It's the biggest demographic on Facebook now.
Yeah, the boomers.
It's the boomers. So I think a lot of them went, you don't want to be where our parents are, like we all did. Why do you think we were on the MSN Messengers and the ICQs back in the day? If you're a Gen Z listening to this, these are messaging softwares before you had things like iMessenger and BBM. And so, yeah, I think they're leaving it because they want something faster, something a little bit more interactive. I mean, Snapchat, you take a video, you watch it once, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So they want that quick, no history, which is actually smart in their part. They understand privacy better than us Gen Ys do, I think. Gen Zs are very sensitive, are much more sensitive, I find, around privacy than Gen Ys. We're not far behind them.
Well, Gen Ys, I mean, they put their life there. I mean, they, you know, everything is on there. Mm-hmm. Everything is on Facebook. There is no privacy. And then I wonder why you wouldn't, like... You know, everybody knows what you ate at what time and where you were, and you're tracked down because your cell phone has a GPS, so people know exactly where you are. There are some apps for that, and like your life is exposed. And is it something that, because the Gen Y likes to be seen?
Yeah, we like to share and be recognized as a generation. I mean, we were talking before that I'm a very odd case because I'm not all about the recognition. I post things that I find interesting, so it's not usually about me, but many of my friends do. And I think that Facebook has been a really nice platform for us to share because we want to connect with everyone, much like our boomer parents who took networking to the max. I mean, they were the definition of the networking generation, but they did it in person over drinks. For us, we don't network that way, but we still want that networking ability. We want to be able to share and communicate with everyone, both our friends and the world at large, about who we are because we want to be noticed. What you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook's a really good way to do that. And it's really important that people recognize, especially Gen Ys, and the younger Gen Ys who are trying to get into the workforce now, that even with the privacy settings to the full out, people can still find stuff about you online. And you have to be really careful about what that online digital footprint is going to look like. And to the point that, I mean, I used to work for another company, I did a bunch of blogging for them. I think you can probably still find those articles out there, and they're not good, Antoine. Like, I'm a decent writer, and those are horrible. And I'm really embarrassed that they're out there, but sadly, it's outside of my hands, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, because once it's out there...
Once it's out, it's very difficult. It's so easy to put stuff out, and so difficult to retract it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember not being able to delete posts at one point, and that was terrifying, because I said something really stupid, like really stupid, and I had to go back and delete it. I personally have learned the consequence of posting stupid things online, but I, even now, you can scroll back through on my Facebook profile, please don't, but you could, and see my teenage years. It was all angsty, and I mean, my angst was much less than most of my generation, but my angsty, my relationship problems, the chaos, like, it became my live blog, my private journal was all up online. And now, of course, I've scaled that way back, so I share
well, my that, I think work, that's one of the big problems with the social media, personally, I find, is when you put your life online for everybody to see it, I mean, like, there is no more privacy, and now you have some employers that basically kind of look into, you know, they go and search online, and then they see how you think, or a nasty comment you made about another company or something, and then they wonder why they don't, you know, sometimes they're not chosen in a position, because now we all search online.
Okay.
I mean, anything anybody does, you know, you give them your name, and they will search online who you are. Do you have a digital footprint or not?
Absolutely. And I mean, the university is the best time, is an amazing time, because we all come out of our shells and we all grow and develop and we have great parties and have an amazing time. Those shouldn't, I mean, I share them with my friends on Facebook too, but I have that privacy setting cranked all the way up so that it's my closed network of friends who can see it, nobody else.
Yeah.
Because I think I've changed it all. There might be a few left. But those are the types of things where if you're going to do it, you have to have that privacy way up. And Instagram's even worse. I mean, selfies all over Facebook. They've been dropping a little bit, but Instagram's worse. There's a marketing company.
The term selfie is now
in
the dictionary.
It's in the dictionary. It's amazing.
It's been approved this year,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Just wait till Bikini Bridge gets there, which is a huge thing that just came up in the last week as a bit of a hoax. I'm not going to go into what it is. You can Google it, but it's a photo that you would never ever post on Facebook, but are being posted all over Instagram. And it has to do with women in bikinis. Oh, big shock with something called Bikini Bridge. But those are the types of things, if an employer sees those, what are the odds you're going to get hired? Really? I mean, you're putting up photos of you in scantily clad things and, you know, in weird situations, because that's what Instagram's all about now, apparently. And it's concerning. I mean, you really need to rethink what you're posting and who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your online profile is your resume in many ways now.
Well, it could destroy your resume.
It'll destroy your resume.
That's the point. So tell me, I mean, what does your generation want in the workplace and in life?
So in the workplace, we really want to, first of all, we have to believe in who we're working for. We got into a conversation, we have another Gen Y who works with us, just hired him on, and he made the comment that we don't work as hard as our boomer parents. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. We definitely work as hard. We just do it faster and more efficiently because we have technologies that's grown so fast. But we'll only do that and commit ourselves fully into it if we believe in the company or the product that we're trying to work with. The company we will work for in the workplace has to have one that has similar values or has a certain cool factor, like a Google. It would be amazing to work for. It's a very cool company. It's a very good culture. And that's the other part we're looking for, is that culture. We want to be collaborative. We want to be supported. We want to have a boss who isn't a boss. He's a leader, a coach, a mentor, someone who's going to help us, not beat down on us in our reviews. And then that extends into our life, in that we don't want to be spending every waking hour thinking about work, which is tough to do. I mean, I'm very guilty of letting work come home with me. But most of my Gen Y friends, once they leave the office, they turn off all their anything to do with work as much as they can, because they want to be able to enjoy it and do what they want to do without thinking about it. Work is a way to fund our lifestyle, not a way to... Work is funding a lifestyle. Work is not life, which is the mentality in some ways of some of the boomers, which was working. Mm-hmm. We need to work because we need to live. For us, it's we want to work to support our lifestyle. If that means making a little bit less to have a fun job where I enjoy what I do so I don't come home miserable and depressed, mm-hmm. I'd rather do that.
But also what we notice as well in your generation that they have this gratification, immediate gratification. So they like something, they go and buy it even if they don't have the money, and then they get into major debts and even their credit, you know, their credit is not good anymore because they're not making their credit card payments or things like that. So, you know, what do you think about that?
I think it's a lot of that. I think a lot of that comes into it, and it's the immediate gratification. We want what we want, and this might be a little controversial as I say this, but I think Gen Y is kind of like this Boomer 1, Boomer 2. I think the same can be said for Gen Y to a certain extent, where Gen Y 1, which would be the older Gen Ys like myself, we're all now in like our late 20s, early 30s, and hit that point. We're all starting to, if we haven't already, in the past year, we've understood the consequences of living heavily on credit, thanks to the crash and the recession. And so I think we've started to really smarten up in our spending. And then the Gen Y 2s, they're living a little bit through us, through their siblings and their cousins, and they've grown up with the concept of seeing what having a lot of debt can do. I'm just thinking of like my little sister and all of her friends. They still do everything on credit, but they're much more aware of what a dollar means. And I think we'll start to see a bigger shift in responsibility when it comes, speaking specifically to credit, a bigger shift of the younger Gen Ys and the Gen Zs having a better understanding of what money is, not because they've experienced it, but because their 30-year-old brother, sister, whomever, has just moved back home because they don't have any, mm-hmm. which is something that we didn't grow up with. When I was growing up, all the generation ahead of me, the Gen Xs, they were out of home in their early 20s, never went back, have their own place.
Yeah.
Whereas Gen Ys, it's become acceptable for us to move back home because we can't afford to do otherwise. And as a result, the younger Gen Ys and the Gen Zs, I think, are starting to realize the power of money and how important it is to watch you count your pennies.
Excellent. So as I'm conscious about the time left, it's always good time always flies
always.
In good company. So do you have any suggestion for Generation Y and Z on how to be successful in these challenging economical times?
Absolutely. So starting with more to the Gen Zs, if you haven't started school yet, maybe stop and rethink what you're going to do. Do the research. Find out. I'm not saying don't follow your passions. If you can make your passions work for you in today's world, kudos to you. But really take a hard look at what you want to do and research what you're about to get yourself into. For all the millennials, really, if you're trying to find jobs, don't keep putting yourself up on a pedestal. Recognize that we do need to take a step back and recognize that those dreams that we were promised aren't going to necessarily happen the way we wanted them to or in the time frame we wanted them to. So take that entry-level job to get you into the company and then work your way up. Nose to grindstone, work hard, and ask for help. Finding a mentor or finding someone you can rely on is one of the best things I've ever done. I've always had a mentor. My boss now is my mentor, boss, leader. And I think it's really beneficial. It can be an uncle, it can be a friend, it can be someone in your own age bracket. It doesn't have to be someone older, but someone who's gone through it, knows what it's like, and can offer real advice.
Excellent. Jared, thank you so much for sharing with us your insight as a Gen Y and a successful Gen Y, I should say. So for those of you who wish to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, here are the addresses. On Facebook, it's All About Me Movie, in one word. And for Twitter, All About Me Movie. To our listeners, many thanks for being with us. I hope you enjoyed our show today with Jared. Please join us online for our next show. It will surely be very insightful. Jared, thank you so much again for coming at the show.
Thanks for having me, Antoine.